Chapter 43. Valtor. On the third floor, Valtor and Dukharin sat waiting as a knock resounded on the outer door of the old library, a room undisturbed at this time of the evening. Valtor rose from his comfortable position in front of one of the many marble hearths surrounding the enormous three-story chamber and ushered in the Silmaran ambassador.
"Late as usual, I see,"
Valtor mused, as he smiled at the ambassador and bowed,
no doubt wanting to assert his dominance.
"So what's with all the secrecy?"
Belcour asked as he pushed his way past Valtor and then took a moment to gawk at the walls of books connected by gold circular staircases and overhead walkways that crisscrossed from one aisle to the next. The rich rosewood shelving provided quite the contrast to the deep blue and gold colouring of the room.
"Your manservant had me traipsing through every back door and side stairwell in this place. We apologize for the theatrics, Ambassador,"
Dukharin said as he gestured to an empty settee across from his. The steady blaze was just what they needed to break the evening chill.
"But we wanted to make sure you were not spotted by one of our illustrious high guard. They have a tendency toward loose lips, especially when around my father."
The ambassador took his seat. His eyes were intent as he waited for someone to speak.
"Well, I take it I'm not here to discuss the latest fashion in women's undergarments. So let's get on with it."
"Fine," Dukharin said. "I see you're a man who doesn't like to mince words. I can respect that. So I'll get right to the point. Overlord Sarin needs an ally on the throne of Alundria. Something he obviously won't find in my father."
"Oh?"
Belcour's voice held a tinge of amused curiosity.
"But I take it he will in you, Prince Dukharin."
"Yes."
The ambassador's eyes swung from one face to the other.
"And what's to keep me from leaving here and going straight to the king with this news?"
"Well, that would be me sucking the air from your lungs before your hand reaches the door."
Valtor leaned back in his chair and tapped his fingertips together in rhythm.
"Greed, for starters."
Belcour cocked his head and raised a brow.
"Go on."
"Silmar is a poor kingdom," Dukharin said. "Its people are starving, and you have few natural resources to speak of. I could change that."
"And how do you propose to make that happen?"
"I suggest a trade of favors."
Dukharin leaned forward.
"If Sarin will help me succeed my father's throne, I will turn over the mining rights to the Black Hills."
Belcour grunted.
"As you have previously stated, Silmar is a poor kingdom. How do you propose we accomplish such a feat?"
He chuckled.
"Lead an all-out assault on Alundria?"
"Precisely."
Belcour's jovial demeanor dissipated.
"Are you mad? Silmar would have no hope of winning in an open conflict with Alundria. Why would we ever agree to something so foolish?"
"Because, unlike your overlord, my father feels it his duty to attend any major battle fought by Alundrian forces. So it won't have to be a full-scale assault, just enough to draw my father in."
Dukharin casually leaned back in his chair.
"From there, I have a select group of lancers who are loyal only to me, and would like to see a few favors sent their way whilst I'm on the throne."
Belcour leaned forward in his seat.
"In other words, a group of mercenaries you've paid off to do your dirty work, is that it?"
"Like I said, you don't beat around the bush."
"You are correct. I prefer plain speech. So here's mine. If Silmar has to bear the brunt of this agreement, by laying its people's lives on the line for your ascension to the throne, then we will want more than just the mining rights. We will want the Black Hills themselves.
Dakaran bolted forward in his chair.
You can't be serious. I will not give away a piece of Alondria as a bargaining chip. Wake up, boy. How did you think this was going to work? That you were going to send our armies over here to get slaughtered, just so you could claim your daddy's crown? Then what? Trust you'd be generous enough to let us cut some rocks out of your mountains in exchange?
Impulsive fool. Dakaran is going to blow this entire endeavor before it even gets started.
Valtor reached over and put a hand on the prince's arm, holding him back from losing it altogether.
It is an intriguing proposal, Ambassador Belcour, Valtor offered. His Highness will give you his answer before you break for home.
Belcour relaxed.
It had better be hurried. I'm planning on leaving at first light.
Valtor rose.
We thank you for your time, Ambassador, and wish you a pleasant night's rest.
One can only hope, Belcour grumbled. Until tomorrow, Your Highness.
The ambassador nodded as he left the room. Dakaran's glare was fierce.
Don't ever treat me like that again.
Valtor bowed.
Quit acting like a spoiled toddler, and I won't have to. I apologize, Your Highness, but the ambassador has a point. It will be Sealmar who has the most invested in this endeavor. It will be their right to demand what they will, and of course, yours as to whether you want to accept it.
Dakaran regained what little composure he had.
What is your advice?
Valtor yawned.
My advice is to go get some sleep.
Dakaran looked at him like he was crazy.
Ultimately, none of it is going to matter, Your Highness. Once we see this through, there will no longer be a Sealmar to worry about. So, if we need to placate Overlord Sarin for the moment, then that is exactly what we do. We offer him our hand in peace, so he doesn't notice the other one stabbing him in the back.
Valtor smiled and bowed.
Rest well, Your Highness.
The next morning came all too quickly as Belcour's small escort of armsmen readied themselves for the rough trip west to Sealmar. The ambassador had just settled onto his horse when a palace courier rode across the courtyard, angling in his direction. The young boy lifted a trifolded parchment sealed with the prince's stamp. Valtor stood in the shadows of one of the second-floor balconies and watched as Belcour promptly tore open the wax and unfolded the letter. The ambassador's eyes scanned the short document. The corners of his mouth curled upward as he read.